Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Item 3 is support for the designation of a portion of Navy Boulevard to Warrior Sacrifice Way.
Road name changes. Well, not a change, really. Remember we talked about this before, that at the County Commission meeting, the proposal that really originated with Alex Andrade, but was kind of also being done in conjunction with Mike Kohler, who is, of course, a veteran. Steve Stroberger is a veteran. And the idea was to name that memorially designate. We really shouldn't say name, because the name is still going to be Navy Boulevard, but to put a memorial designation on it from, you know, the bridge all the way up to at the NAS Pensacola front gate, from the bridge all the way up to Gulf Beach Highway, to call it Warrior Sacrifice Way was the proposal. Two speakers, one of which, Shirley Green, and they both were against this idea for different reasons. This was Shirley Green's perspective.
Do not change Navy Boulevard or Gulf Beach Highway to allow the interpretation that our military personnel have been sacrificed. Those killed and wounded in the line of duty in the sky, land, and sea are not to be remembered as sacrifices. Warriors, heroes, protective forces, all those are okay. Sacrifices are offered to appease someone perceived to have more power than you do, than the sacrifice person. This is not the case.
See, it's interesting because, you know, a word obviously can have, many people can have different perspectives on the significance of a word. I don't find anything offensive about the term warrior sacrifice, because I think, you know, members of the military sacrifice a ton. They sacrifice their time with their family. They sacrifice the difficulty of parenting and marital relationships. They, of course, sacrifice their, you know, their physical well-being, often, you know, to their great detriment medically, whether it's limbs or health conditions or, of course, their life. They give up their time. They give up other opportunities. You know, people forego other things that they do when they go into the military. So, you know, I perceive sacrifice as a very noble thing, as a positive thing. But to her, the idea of sacrifice was very negative, had very, you know, adverse connotations. So she doesn't want people thinking about that. I think the original proposal maybe had been to name it for the three men killed in the terrorist attack in 2019, but then in conjunction with the base CO and other folks, I think it got shifted. But, you know, Mike Kohler kind of responded to the criticisms and the concerns.
So Representative Andrade reached out to me about 3 months ago and wanted to do something in honor of the terrorist attack that happened on December 6, 2019, out on the base. I was XO'd in MOTC that time. This has nothing to do with me. But it did have to do with three people getting killed, eight people getting injured.
Yeah, sometimes it does go a little bit less mentioned that several other people were seriously injured. And, you know, at least one was shot, I think, six times, if I remember correctly. And, you know, did not die, thank God. But, you know, life-altering, right, incident for people who survived, even.
I called the base CO, just so you know, this wasn't a unilateral. This was a request from the representative, and I had a good long discussion with Captain Newman, and then I reached back out to Representative Andrade and I said, I think you need to call the base CO. Now, the base CO is not going to get into state road politics. That's not what she does. And then he had a good conversation, and at that point, he made the recommendation that we shouldn't name it after the last names for some of the same things you said, Chief. Of people that worked at NASC and stuff.
Yeah, Mary Konopko is one of the other people who spoke, retired Navy chief, and, you know, she had said the triggering effect of saying sacrifice, that you don't want people driving onto the base being reminded of death all the time. I get that concern. I also, when you drive on the base, you drive past Barrancas. You can't not be reminded. It's everywhere. The risk, the terrible cost that this brings to a lot of people, right? But again, the original name was maybe meant to be something more in honor of the names of the men who were killed. Then it was changed to Warrior Sacrifice Way. Mike Kohler again.
So maybe the right thing is Warrior's Way. I could live with that, but the state will end up making the final decision. There'll be no cost to the county.
Yeah, and again, this is not a name change. It will still be Navy Boulevard. It'll just be, like, there'll be a plaque, you know, that'll say, just like we have roads designated for all kinds of things, this will just be an honorary or memorial kind of designation. The conversation continue. We'll come back to it in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Apple Market, Pensacola's hidden gem, a sushi bar, coffee shop, art gallery, and butcher shop, all on 1021 Scenic Highway. Apple Market, Pensacola's favorite market. There is a vehicle crash, Scenic Highway, right near Laura Point. Be aware of that. Also, a hit-and-run crash, still working that with the injuries. Old Baghdad Road at Rice Road in Milton. Traffic's running a little bit heavy. U.S. 98 near Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve. So use caution through that area. Dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the conversation about whether to have a memorial or an honorary designation for the road, that stretch of Navy Boulevard south of Gulf Beach Highway to the bridge going on to NAS Pensacola, whether to call it Warrior Sacrifice Way, or as Mike Kohler has now said or had said at the meeting, Commissioner Kohler said he likes the idea of Warrior Way or Warrior's Way, Lumen May.
I'm always proud to honor men and women, you know, who wore the cloth of this nation, any way that we can recognize them for their service. And so whichever direction you want to go to do that, and recognizing, as you said, that that's a state road and we really have no jurisdiction over it. I mean, it's a state it'll be a state bill that Representative Andrade has indicated that he's going to carry with or without a resolution from this county. But I do honor those men and women.
Yeah, it doesn't need county approval. It's not related to the county. It's more, it'd be nice if everybody agreed on this, but, you know, Representative Andrade can run the bill regardless. Steve Stroberger, another veteran.
I agree. Warrior Way sounds great. I think those were two great speakers on this subject. Every year on Veterans Day, I get thank yous. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you. I mean, there is sacrifice. It's a different sacrifice than giving your life, but there's a sacrifice being a veteran and leaving your family.
Right. And so, again, sacrifice is not, I mean, obviously this one woman, Shirley Green, perceives it as this one particular kind of negative thing, but I think of sacrifice meaning a lot of different things and not just of life, and that's how Steve seems to understand it too.
And also being willing to risk or to give my life for my country. But I will tell you, I never joined the Marine Corps, and I joined the Marine Corps when they bombed the Marines in Beirut. I did not join the Marine Corps to give my life. I joined the Marine Corps to locate, close with, and destroy the enemy.
Yeah, and he's if I remember correctly, he's a 60 pilot. So he's a, you know, what you think of as a Black Hawk, but, you know, Marines and Navy have their own designations. But so that's what he did, was kill people with helicopters, right?
I remember George Patton had a really great speech. I think it was in 1944. He said, "No man ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the poor dumb bastard die for his." That's why veterans join the service, to kill the enemy, not to be killed. So I understand. I wouldn't want to be sacrificed either. So I think that's a good point. It should be Warrior Way.
I generally agree. I know that Alex is trying to honor the memory of the people who were lost and the people who were wounded in the terrorist attack, and also in general, the sacrifices made by the members of our military. And certainly, if you're traveling on a funeral processional going down Navy, and then you transition onto what is, at least for that stretch, designated as Warrior Sacrifice Way, he's hoping that that is a way of honoring the people who die in the service of this country, or who die after having served this country, you know, that the sacrifice was made, even if they, you know, survived the experience, obviously. And I know he's trying to honor, you know, I know his heart. I know what he's trying to do. I prefer Warrior Way too. I think it's cleaner. It's a little simpler. It seems to be broader in its meaning. I personally, when you go through the back gate and then you go past that very first building, and right on the side it's got the Navy emblem, and it says, it's the U.S. flag that you have on the bottoms of planes you've seen from like World War II or whatever, just with the flag and the bar or the star on the bars. But it says "Fly, Fight, Win." I don't. Every time I see it, it gives me just a little yeah. You know, that's how I feel when I drive past that as a civilian who loves the military and the Navy and naval aviation. And I have a worry that calling it Warrior Sacrifice Way might kind of, I don't know, be a little bit of a downer for some people, or be triggering for some people, or be maybe people might not be sure what it means. But I think if you call it Warrior Way, everybody's going to be like, yeah, you know, a little bit of that. I think if it stays Navy Boulevard, it still has that. But then again, when you drive that stretch of Navy Boulevard, are you thinking about, I don't know, the military in your country as you're approaching the base? I'm not. I'm just driving on a road, and I know where I'm going. And if you see a little sign that says this stretch of road is honorarily named Warrior Way, I might look at that and be like, yeah. You know, I don't. That's all I think this is. So I don't know if Alex has the opportunity to amend it to simply be Warrior Way or not. He may keep it Warrior Sacrifice Way. But either way, I think it's okay. But the county doesn't get to make this decision anyway. What do you think? 437-1620. Feel free to weigh in. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One amazing example of strength is Esther. She famously proclaimed, "If I perish, I perish," as she prepared to go before the king on behalf of her persecuted people. She had such conviction that she was willing to lay down her own life for the sake of others. Her passion and purpose were deeply rooted in God's plan. Being strong in the Lord means finding His purpose for your life and pursuing it no matter the cost. Knowing God's plan for you doesn't have to be mystical. Actually, it should be biblical. Find your purpose in tenaciously telling others of God's love for them through the message of Christ's death and resurrection, which atones for our sins. Christian person, give your life to the faithful proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Season's greetings from our Gulf Breeze Natural Gas team. Holiday nights means it's time to gather around your fireplace with your family. We are proud to serve all of Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. If you'd like to learn more about the benefits of natural gas for your home or business, please visit gulfbreezenaturalgas.com. We also offer appliance rebates. And remember, we are here to help make natural gas your holiday style, your holiday comfort, and your energy.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
How long have they been there?
Who knows?
What are they? Where do they come from?
Well, they ain't from Cleveland.
When I was a little boy,
when I was just a boy,
the devil called my name,
when I was just a boy,
I say now,
good morning, 7:24 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this foggy morning in Pensacola. I got a note in from somebody. It's a good reminder. You know how when you go into the theater, they tell you to check your cell phone, turn it on silent or vibrate or turn it off. Same at the county commission meeting. Same when you go into anything, you go into church, you know, same kind of thing. Okay, this is a reminder like that, only it's for all of you people who don't have your lights on. Okay, this is the moment where I want you to literally reach over and turn on your lights and make sure they're on. Your lights should be on. Because, of course, what happens is modern cars come with the running lights, so you can forget that your lights are not on in the back. And the key is you want people to be able to see you from behind, right? Not just because you're tight jeans. You want people to be able to see the taillights, okay? Because that way they don't run into you in the fog. Also, if you've got bright lights or high beams on, turn them off. That's bad. That makes it worse. PJ, you're from the Midwest, okay? So you grew up dealing with rain and storms and fogs and stuff all the time. And, my whole life they've taught us that, you do not turn on your high beams in fog. I always thought it was kind of a dumb reminder because if you're ever in fog and you turn on your high beams, you know immediately why you don't want them on.
Right. It makes it worse.
Yeah. It just looks like it's a wall of white coming at you. And so I've always thought that admonition was a little bit like, well, yeah, obviously, but you have eyes. You can see. This is worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's also worse for everybody else. Let's see. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
There is a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m., so use those headlights. Also, a vehicle crash scenic highway right near Laura Point. Use caution through that area. Traffic running a little bit heavy. U.S. 98 near the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve. And a vehicle crash with injuries. Pine Forest at Godwin Lane. They're saying there's a roadblock there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I've got a couple of notes in here about the possible memorial naming, or it's not really, I guess it is because it's sacrifice. It's meant for the people who died in the terror attack, but the honorary naming, however you want to describe it. It's not a renaming of the road. That's the key. It'll still be Navy Boulevard. People are talking about whether they like the idea of Warrior Sacrifice Way or not. Somebody says adding sacrifice makes it clunky. That's a three extra syllables in the name. That's true. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well, and that's a lot of what you want. The one for, I can't remember now. What was the full renaming, rebranding, whatever you want to call it, for fallen Pensacola police officers on Bayfront Parkway? It's super clunky, too. It's just long, and you don't really want long when you're talking about the namings of things. Somebody says, thank you, Andrew, for the headlight note. I was on Three Mile Bridge in the interstate, and no one has their lights on. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's... In rain, in fog, turn on your lights, period. Just period. But it's easy to forget because you can see and you don't realize you want also to be seen. Somebody else says, I don't think of myself as a, blood-soaked warrior or anything like that. I was drafted in the military, so stop with the grandstanding and all these name changes. I understand that perspective, too. I do. We fight a lot about symbolic things. We fight about statues and we fight about plaques and we fight about water tower decor and, namings of things. And it's because those things matter, not because they don't matter. I think every once in a while when we get into this conversation, people will say, well, this kind of stuff doesn't matter. No, it really does. The naming a boulevard for a person who really deserved it, or, naming a building, or, sort of co-naming a stretch of highway in honor of fallen, patrol officer, or in honor of people who died at NAS Pensacola, the terrorist. I mean, these things do matter because they're a way of memorializing our values as a society and telling people that we care about what you did, or we care about what that means. We care about this value. By the way, speaking of which, I don't think I've mentioned this yet today, but it is kind of funny. I drove down A Street yesterday because I was driving around. I went to see the project that's going on at Old Stinky, this huge four-story tall multiple apartment complex that's going to have, 200, I think, are going to be built there eventually. And eventually, past that, it's going to go, the Romero is the first part of this. It's going to be almost 300 units. And then eventually, it's going to be 1,000 units over the course of the next 15 years and all kinds of mixed use and retail and all that stuff. But I was on A Street also because I had heard somebody tell me that the A Street Black Lives Matter mural was, let's just say, inadequately painted over. And sure enough, they painted black, I think, over all of it, including the road surface. Well, what's the problem? The road surface, the asphalt, the paint doesn't stick real well, or it soaks in, whereas the paint is a much better surface to paint on. So the black remains very vividly over the top of the Black Lives Matter letters. So literally now you have a very, not as vivid as before, but a fairly easy to read Black Lives Matter where all the letters are in fact black. So FDOT did not fully accomplish the cover-up. The cover-up is, let's just say, poorly executed. Watergate level competence on this thing in the long run, let's just say. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Now, President Trump has signed a bill ordering the release of the government files on Jeffrey Epstein. The Justice Department has 30 days to hand over the investigative information tied to the convicted sex offender. However, some documents could still be withheld if they're connected to an active investigation or involve personal privacy. In North Carolina, immigration enforcement is ramping up. The Department of Homeland Security says 250 people have been arrested in Charlotte since last weekend during Border Patrol operations. Agents are expected to stay in the city through at least tomorrow. And NASA has confirmed that an interstellar comet passing through our solar system is exactly what it appears to be. The object, called 3I Atlas, sparked some debate about its nature. NASA shared new pictures and findings at an event yesterday. Officials say the comet's origin from outside our solar system makes it very scientifically valuable.
I was hoping it was going to be aliens.
Yeah, I mean, weren't we all? I mean, come on, just get it over with. Finally, prove it. Here we go. Let's find out whether we're going to be living our lives in submission to the alien overlords, or whether they come in peace, or whether it's the end of the planet as we know it, if we've got 18 minutes to live. You know, I just want to know.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Can military members refuse orders if they're illegal? A video from six Democratic lawmakers racking up 11 million views on X. Fox's Rich Etson at the White House.
The Democrats have released these videos as they questioned the legality of military strikes on boats in the Caribbean. The Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel has signed off on that campaign.
Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn calling it inconceivable, saying it stems from the Democrats' hatred of President Trump. A blowout second quarter for Walmart, posting strong sales and profits that crush Wall Street expectations. And country star Keith Urban reveals the 2025 Entertainer of the Year at the Country Music Awards on ABC.
Lainey Wilson.
Wilson hosted the show, also won Album of the Year and Female Vocalist of the Year. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 60 degrees. It's a very foggy morning here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast in a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. The Escambia Sheriff's Office dive team pulled a vehicle out of a lake yesterday. The unoccupied Honda Civic was found in about 15 feet of water in the Escambia River Wildlife Management Area near Century. According to witnesses, the driver accidentally left that vehicle in neutral at a boat launch, and it rolled into the water. The sheriff's office used sonar to locate the car and worked with fire rescue and a wrecker company to pull it to shore. The vehicle had a Colorado license plate. It had not been reported stolen. FHP is investigating. Florida Power and Light is back before regulators today. The Florida Public Service Commission will be considering FPL's settlement agreement tied to its proposed rate hike. The utility originally asked for a $10 billion increase over 4 years to strengthen the electrical grid and handle more customers. FPNL revised that request back in August after working with corporate customers. 2 weeks of hearings wrapped up in October. Both sides made their arguments then. A decision on the settlement could come soon. Congressman Jimmy Patronis pushing back against the Air Force and their plan to move the 492nd Special Operations Wing from Northwest Florida to Arizona. The unit's currently based at Hurlburt and Duke Fields. Relocations would shift about 600 jobs to Arizona at the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
Relocating this mission and building a whole bunch of new hangars out in Arizona, is that the best use of the taxpayers' dollar to accommodate the movement of this mission? I don't know, you know, but I'd like to know what's it going to cost to do that.
Congressman Patronis, along with Senators Rick Scott and Ashley Moody, sent a letter to the Department of the Air Force questioning the decision. They're concerned that moving the units away from the Caribbean, where tensions have been growing, could actually weaken national security. Pensacola man's been sentenced to life in prison for the shooting outside of a bar in Escambia County last summer. 27-year-old Christian Ketchup was convicted of second-degree murder for shooting Tierra Binion in the Mugs and Jugs parking lot in August of 2023. As part of his sentence, Ketchup was also ordered to pay $7,000 to the victim's compensation fund. The Coast Guard unveiling a historic haul at Port Everglades yesterday. nearly 50,000 pounds of cocaine. They say it's worth more than $360 million, and they're calling it the Coast Guard's largest cocaine seizure by a single cutter during one operation.
Removing this much cocaine from the global supply chain does more than interrupt a shipment. It weakens entire organizations.
That is DEA Administrator Terry Cole. He says it also protects communities throughout the nation. The Cutter Stone's 15 interdictions were all made in the Eastern Pacific Ocean near Colombia and Ecuador. 7:34, News Radio 92.3. We've got 60 degrees right now, a very foggy morning. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping has joined Russell Landscape Group, combining trusted local service with regional strength to deliver exceptional landscape construction and maintenance. 770-446-3552. Still working that vehicle crash scenic highway right near Laura Point. Also, traffic running a little bit heavy. U.S. 98 near the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve. That's not getting any better. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries. Pine Forest at Godwin Lane. They're saying there's a roadblock there. Finally, a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. So use those headlights. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And it's 60 degrees, foggy, cloudy right now. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Dense fog advisory through the morning hours. We should be seeing fog clear up as we go into the late morning. High this afternoon near 76 degrees near partly cloudy skies. Going overnight tonight, fog could redevelop. Dense fog possible as we go into your Friday morning. Temperatures tonight near 62 degrees. Friday afternoon, 78 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower on Friday afternoon. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 60 degrees. Let's get a look at our Your Money Now, our pre-opening market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Bureau of Labor Statistics will release the September non-farm payrolls number, ending a shutdown-induced blackout on official jobs numbers. The report is forecast to show a gain of 50,000 jobs in the public and private sectors. This is up from the initially reported 22,000 in August. Data drops in 10 minutes. A federal grand jury has charged Florida Representative Sheila Cherpilis McCormick with stealing $5 million in COVID-19 disaster funds. The Justice Department adds that some of that money was then illegally contributed to her 2021 congressional campaign. McCormick claims she is innocent. CATL shares slid over 8% as early investors were free to sell roughly 77.5 million previously locked up shares. CATL's IPO in May raised $4.6 billion, reportedly making it the largest offering this year globally, as investors bet on the company's ability to ride the boom in electric vehicles. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's great to have you with us on a Thursday. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, or as I like to say, the PIO for PPD. because I'm super fluent with these acronyms these days. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's talk about what just is happening right now, because I want to make sure that we get the best safety information out for people. Dense fog advisory on until 9 a.m. Fog is bad this morning. We've been telling people all morning, be sure to turn your headlights on so that people from behind can see your taillights. Be sure not to have your brights on. I assume this is also dangerous for your officers, too, because if they have people pulled over or if they're on the side of the road, people may not see them until they're very close, right?
Yeah, we encourage people, if they're on the side of the road, to use your flashers as well, which is, puts out a better visual signal than just your running lights on the backside of the car. So, yeah, please be careful. Reach over and turn that dial to on, because a lot of times the daylight running lights will be on, but there's nothing from the back of the car, and there's a lot of that going on this morning.
And I had somebody text me that the automatic setting on their car was that the headlights turn on automatically at night, but not during the day. And so they, you know, that's also another situation where, you know, they've like forgotten to think about their headlights, basically. And so you have to, you know, really do something manually to make it work, you know, more effectively, particularly because of the taillights. You want to be able to see the taillights in front of you. Also, just a fact note, I don't think it's particularly relevant in this circumstance, but it is legal now in the state of Florida to drive with your flashers on. That was changed several years ago. It's not only for when you're on the side of the road, right, Mike?
Yes, it is legal to do that. It can get confusing. People might think that you're stranded. But again, when the flashers are on, especially on a day like today, you're going to be able to see that a lot quicker than you are the running lights if your headlights are on from the rear. So, yes, that is legal to do now.
Absolutely. Following up on the story that you told us about previously, this horrendous homicide inside of a building on Davis Highway, but you now have somebody in custody. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Investigators worked around the clock on this and took somebody into custody very quickly. He was arrested on Pace Boulevard by one of our canine officers. And, you know, the further they dug into this, they figured out that he'd been in there before. He'd been convicted of a burglary in there before, entered the building the same way that he did this time. But he got away with some merchandise last time. This time he committed the burglary. He finished it. He was able to leave, and we know this. He was able to leave without hurting anyone, but he chose not to. He chose to stay there and kill Mr. Chambers. Now, Mr. Chambers never saw this attack coming. There was no reason to do this. He could have left and gotten away with this burglary, but he chose to do otherwise.
And I thought I saw that it wasn't just burglary from previously, that there was something even worse in his past. But am I wrong, mistaken about that?
He's been arrested before. I believe it was a county case where he did use a machete.
That's the one I thought I had
on
seen.
Someone.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't have the particulars of that case, but he's no stranger to violence.
Okay, well, I'm glad he's in custody now. We also had a pedestrian fatality at College and Airport, right? I think maybe last Wednesday?
Yeah, it was Airport Parkway, and, you know, we've got way too many of these. One is too many, but we've had just so many fatalities in the city recently, and this, again, is another one, and this is simply where the pedestrian crossed against the light, was using the crosswalk, but crossed against the light. It was red for the pedestrian and was struck and killed.
Man, okay, so, you know, I don't know, just a reminder to pay attention, reminder to follow the law. And I don't know, the thing that I taught my boys over and over and over again when I was teaching them how to drive was regardless of what the law says, pay attention and avoid hurting people, you know, because, you know, it's better to avoid a problem, you know, than it is to be right and have a problem have happened, right? You just always be watching. And, you know, in Florida, it's a little bit, it can be hard to remember the rules, but you have the right to walk across the street. You can jaywalk in Florida legally. That doesn't mean it's a good idea. And you can be protected in a crosswalk. That doesn't mean it's a good idea. Just all these rules and, you know, always be safe and be aware, right?
Yeah, sometimes people get it confused. Like downtown, there's not a light at every crosswalk, so people will just, you know, the pedestrian does have the right-of-way, but that doesn't mean that you can just walk across that crosswalk and hope that the car that's approaching is going to stop. You need to make contact, eye contact with the driver of that vehicle and make sure that they're going to stop. And then when it does have a light, you need to use that light. You do not
have priority at that crosswalk when the light is red for the pedestrian. You've got to wait till it turns green.
Absolutely. We also had, I think, we had a lot more data on the red light cameras, which we talked about extensively with the mayor yesterday. But you've had the first grouping of people actually protesting their automated red light tickets, right?
Yeah, that was this week. We had five people that indicated they wanted a hearing, but only one of them showed up. So, and that person was protesting the placement of the signage that there was cameras at that intersection, not necessarily whether he committed the violation or not, but it was the signage. And the officers presented information from DOT that the signage was legal. It was exactly what it was supposed to be, and the individual ended up having to pay that fine.
So he thought rather than trying to protest the fact that he ran the red light, he would protest the compliance of the camera warning signs. And since those were installed properly, tough luck, son.
Yeah, I wasn't in the room, but I think that was the gist of it.
Okay, all right. Well, out of 23,000, what was the 28,000? I forget the number now. I think maybe 28,000 tickets so far. We've had five people indicate they want to protest. One person tried and failed, and the other four did not show up. Is it a big time drain for you guys? Has it been an issue? Because obviously you guys put your eyes on every single one of these. Is this stressing personnel at all?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, they brought on three more this week to help look at those videos, including myself. It takes a lot of time to do that. But what takes up more time is answering the phone calls. There are a lot of phone calls coming into our traffic division that are keeping officers in the office answering those phone calls. People want to know, you know, how to protest it and how to pay it and where to pay it and things like that. There's a lot of questions to be asked. So we're working on that a couple of different ways to hopefully automate that and make things go smoother.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But if a lot more people are calling PPD, then somebody's got to answer those phones. That makes perfect sense. We're talking to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. Hang on for just a second, Mike. We got traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thank you, Andrew. Traffic's running a bit heavy from US 98 right near the Naval Live Oaks area, so just be aware of that. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries, Pine Forest Road at Godwin Lane. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Also, Highway 90, seeing quite a bit of congestion from Woodbine Road and Pace to Scenic Highway in Pensacola. And finally, there's a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. Use those headlights. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for Pensacola Police Department. You know, Mike, on the fog, another question had come in, and I don't know the answer to this, but I'm curious. Somebody had made the comment that, you know, Andrew, you think it's bad driving in a car. Imagine what it's like driving in an ambulance with all of the lights on and flashing and all that stuff bouncing back at you off of the fog. Is that an issue for when you guys are running with lights on and you're trying to chase at speed and you've got something like fog that you're dealing with? Does having the lights on make it harder to drive through like the fog?
Well, first of all, we're never going to chase in a condition like that. So the answer to that is no. But your question,
but you still might alert, right? You still might respond with lights on to go to a call, right?
Yes, we will. Yes, obviously we'll do that. We're just going to have to cut the speedway down. But there is reflection coming back on the officer with the fog. So that's something that we don't have to deal with a lot. But like you said, today's one of those days.
Yeah, and I'm guessing going through intersections much more cautiously, precisely because of, you know, this problem, right?
Yes, we're gonna respond. We're just going to have to go a bit slower because we're not doing anybody any good if we never make it there.
Right. Old Baptist in the news for a lot of different reasons, but also apparently now in the news because people are breaking in. Is that right? Just like that, like they break in at Wahoo's, even though that's an in-use facility. Old Baptist is an abandoned facility, but people are breaking in there?
Yeah, and I was going to compare it to the Wahoo's. The Baptist and Wahoo's are two places you don't really want to break into because getting caught is very high. The chances are very high. It happened again this week. There were a few juveniles that were in there that we were made aware of, and officers came over that area. They established a perimeter and took them into custody.
Again, this is not the first time?
No, it's not the first time.
Huh. What are they doing? Are they just misbehaving kids? Are they trying to vandalize, graffiti, hang out, get high? What are they trying to do? Do you know?
Well, I guess sometimes you could call it an attractive nuisance. There's a lot of abandoned buildings there, and when you're young like that, you know, why not? Let's go check it out. There's nobody in there. What could go wrong kind of situation. We don't know that they're going in there to just specifically steal or anything, but again, the younger you are, when you see things like that, then it can become attractive to them, and they want to go inside and check it out. And sometimes that they're in there to steal wire and things like that. I don't know exactly what the situation was with this particular burglary. All I do know is that you can't go in there. I mean, even though it's abandoned and nobody there, you still can't go in there and burglarize it.
I'm just grateful that you and I, when we were kids, never did anything dumb or stupid or wrong, or at least we didn't get caught. That's what I'm grateful for. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yes. And so this one came from actually two sources, Beverly Hills Cop and Better Call Saul. And this is where narcotics traffickers will put cocaine in boxes and crates and surround it with coffee grounds, and that's going to throw the dogs off. That's totally not true. So if you to break it down about how a dog's nose works versus a human's nose, let's take a bowl of soup. If you took a bowl of soup and you smelled it, you smell soup. But the dog is much different than that. The dog will smell the carrots, the chicken, the broth, and the celery individually. So when you try to put the cocaine or whatever else inside coffee grounds, the dog is still going to be able to detect that narcotic.
What was the – I'm trying to remember what the number was, but it was something like 30,000 times more sensitive than your nose, you know, to the point where they can track somebody who ran across concrete because of the, you know, the little bit of residue that might be left or the aroma that might be left even in the concrete, not on dirt, not on grass, but across concrete. And even they can tell the difference between they were running or they were walking, like that level of sophistication. So – a little bit of coffee isn't going to throw them off the scent, right?
No, not at all.
And they don't even drink coffee. Or do they? Are they the only cops that don't drink coffee?
I'll have to let a canine handle answer that question for you. That's I'm gonna stay in my lane on that one.
Now I'm thinking if they like lattes, if they do cream and sugar, if they drink it black. My brain goes in all the wrong directions. Mike Wood, he's the PIO for the – what's that?
They're wired pretty tight anyway. They don't really need any caffeine. So if you've ever experienced or done it, seen a canine demonstration, that's something that they just don't need. It's built in.
They don't need the rock star. They are the rock star. They don't need the energy drink, that's for sure. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, keeping us informed, keeping us safe. I appreciate the work, sir.
Thank you.
7:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're in the place where you're not sure yet if it's time to get your next vehicle, well, that's actually the time to start shopping. That way you can really be informed about what's out there. And, you know, especially if your car is getting older and it's starting to cost a little bit more routinely for maintenance, that's, you know how it is. Like you're starting to put $1,000 in here and $1,500 there and $500 there. And you're starting to wonder, well, how much is this good money going after bad money at a certain point? But it could just be that, you know, you're starting to consider the possibility of getting a newer car. Go to Frontier Motors and look around. Get informed. Test drive 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever you want to do. And in fact, test drive things that are outside of your range. You know, you're thinking about an SUV. I don't know. Drive a pickup. Drive a sedan. So maybe what you want is a Jeep. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But you might try it and hate it and fine, you learn something. You might try it and love it and think, oh, I never thought I'd be a Jeep person. Well, then here you are. You can go start collecting your ducks. Anyway, the point is that Frontier Motors, in one place, you can sample a lot of things against each other without having to drive around town and meet 5 different salespeople and telling them your life story and then explain to them why you're not buying their car today and all of the rigmarole that goes with it. It's easy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Come on.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
Platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with 4 locations in the News Radio area. Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Join Terrence A. Gross, a local board-certified personal injury lawyer who has practiced in this community for almost 40 years. He'll be on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9, as he'll discuss all aspects of personal injury law. His law firm only handles people who have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join him today at 9 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Early this morning, General William Scott flew to Seattle.
Is his trip connected with the B-3 bomber?
Mrs. Rose, there, to the best of my knowledge, there is no B-3 bomber.
Man, you want to understand communications, communications distraction, misuse of communication. Wag the Dog, baby. Such a great film. 7:55, I don't know anything. There's no, to the best of my knowledge, there is no B-3 bomber. 7:55, and by the way, in case you're keeping score at home, there really is no B-3 bomber, but that's the point. By denying the existence of a thing, then you create the perception that the thing must be true. Did I say that sign files out loud? Anyway, PJ has got traffic on the files. PJ?
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, Pine Forest Road at Godwin Lane. Saying there's roadblock associated with that. That's also starting to impact traffic on Mobile Highway as well. Traffic's also running a little bit heavy. US 98 near the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve. Highway 90, seeing quite a bit of congestion from about Woodbine Road and Pace to about Scenic Highway in Pensacola. Finally, there is a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. Use those headlights. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Turn them on. Turn them on now. Seriously, turn them on now. Come on, turn them on. Oh, you know, we were joking with the mayor yesterday about the name of the big shipbuilding, ship parts building production facility they're wanting to get Triumph to help fund over at the port for 2,000 jobs. Huge project if it comes to be. Code name, Project Maeve. And I gave him a little bit of a hard time about how that's a super weird name. I remembered today what it reminded me of.
True love is the greatest thing in the world. But that's not what he said. He distinctly said to blave. And as we all know, to blave means to bluff.
Project Blave. Of course, that leads to the wife's line. One of the 83,000 famous lines in Princess Bride.
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore.
You never had it so good.
Such a great movie. Anyway, so if you see the mayor and you want to have some fun with him, say, hey, I heard we're getting a lot of jobs through this Project Blave at the port. I'm curious to see how many people talk to him that way. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, funeral services are being held today for former Vice President Dick Cheney. The vice president for George W. Bush passed away earlier this month at 84. His funeral is scheduled to begin at 11 Eastern at the Washington National Cathedral. All of the living presidents are expected to be in attendance except for President Trump. The U.S. is authorizing the export of advanced artificial intelligence chips to companies in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. That announcement made yesterday after President Trump met with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in Washington, D.C. The chips will be used for new data centers in the Arab countries. And, well, you missed out, Andrew. An 18-karat gold toilet has a new owner. It sold for over $12 million at an auction on Tuesday.
Dang!
The 223-pound toilet, dubbed America, was first built in 2016 and is one of three pieces crafted by Italian conceptual artist Maurizio Cattelan. According to the Guggenheim Museum, the fully functional toilet was made to be a commentary on the ever-increasing divide between the wealthy and the poor in the U.S. It was reportedly sold to billionaire hedge fund manager and New York Mets owner Steve Cohen in 2017. A twin to the auctioned 18-karat gold toilet was placed on display at the Guggenheim in New York and reportedly offered to President Trump during his first term in the White House. I'm Mark Meatfield.
So the irony is that a billionaire bought it. And I'm guessing the artist made a bunch of money off of it.
I would imagine so, yeah.
So just to see if I understand this whole story right. So an artist is protesting the rich-poor gap created under capitalism by making a giant ton of money out of creating a piece of art that's a gold toilet. So he became the rich in commenting about how capitalism is horrible. It allows people to be rich. Do I have it? Am I close?
No, yeah, that sounds about right. And the toilet ended up in a billionaire's mansion.
That's right. Yeah. So maybe the toilet's not the only thing we should be commenting on. Perhaps, I don't know, the hypocrisy of the art.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM.